بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها أن رجلا استأذن للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال إذنوا له بئس أخو الأشيرة. متفق عليه. We are in this chapter that when it is permissible and sometimes it is commanded that we make ghibat. And to understand this is very important. The basic principle is ghibat is haram. And we have to understand, if we have that knowledge and that understanding, then in the cases where ghibat is permissible and where it is commanded, we should obey accordingly. Also, another very important point that we should understand here is we know that the Quran and in the Hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has made ghibat haram. But here, for example, this very first Hadith that we are reading, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam made ghibat himself. A person who hasn't got knowledge and who hasn't got respect, or commonly they find fault. They say, you command us to do something and you do the opposite. This is very common with regard to the public and the ulama. They don't understand the knowledge, and when ulama do certain things, they feel that they are doing against what they are preaching. But they are doing it in the light of some command of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We read here, for example, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says, a person asked permission to come to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, give him permission. And together with that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, bi'sa akhul ashira. He is a very bad person of his community. So that is outwardly backbiting, but it was necessary to inform the people. So where it is necessary to inform, that is not bad, that is backbiting, which is commanded to save people from the harm. As we had read, if somebody wants, you want to do a business deal with somebody, and somebody comes and tell you, be on your guard, this person has taken many people for a ride. So now that is backbiting, but that is compulsory. Somebody is getting his son, daughter married somewhere, and you know that that person with whom they are proposing are very bad people. They have got a bad record. It is compulsory to inform them. We have to understand that, and it is in the light of this knowledge that a person will be able to appreciate knowledge and the knowledge of the people of knowledge. وعنها قالت قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حضرت عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها says also that نبي كريم صلى الله عليه وسلم said ما ظن فلانا وفلانا يعرفان من ديننا شيئا. I don't think that so and so, taking the names of those people who are munafiqs, that they know anything of our deen. They are only very superficial. They are munafiqs, what they believe is something else, and what they are saying is something else. So yeah, also Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam exposed them and told what their reality is, so that other people don't get influenced by their outward piety. They got no deen in them. They just an outward show of piety, and people get influenced by that. So it was necessary to inform the people. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained that. وعن فاطمة بنت قيس رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت أتيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقلت. حضرت فاطمة بنت قيس رضي الله تعالى عنها, a very great Sahabiya who has got great great virtues, she says I came to Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم and I said أنا أبا الجهم ومعاوية خطباني, that two Sahaba, Abul Jahm and Muawiyah, have proposed to me. Both have sent proposals to me to get married to me. So in other words, she came and asked advice. What advice do you give me? Who should I choose? فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَمَّا مُعَاوِيَةَ فَسُعُلُكُنْ لَا مَعَلَ لَهُ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, one of them, Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, is su'uluk. And that means a person who has got no money. In other words, you want to marry him, but remember, he's got no money. It's going to be difficult for him to maintain you. So this is also like backbiting, explaining his bad quality. But it was necessary to inform her so she knows what she is going into. وَأَمَّا أَبُو الْجَهَمْ فَلَا يَضَعُ الْعَسَىٰ أَنْ عَاتِقِهِ. And the other Sahabi who has proposed to you, Abu al-Jahm, he is a person who does not, he's always got his stick with him. And that has been explained in two ways. He is darrab, he hits a lot. And if you will marry him, he was going to hit you a lot. Be aware what you are going into. And also, that is always what his stick means, that he makes a lot of suffer. He's not at home. So you understand that if you marry him, he's not going to be a person who's going to be at home. He's always out on suffer. So yeah, also, outwardly it looks, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made ghibat. But yeah, also it is compulsory to inform the person who is taking mashara, not to run that person down, but to inform and let them know what the condition is. وعن زيد بن أرقم رضي الله عنه قال خرجنا مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في سفر أصاب الناس فيه شدة. Hazrat Zayd ibn Arqam radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says, we went out with Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on a safar. And in that people came into great difficulties. That is, the safar was a hard safar. It was in the heat, all the food etc. had also run out. They were in difficulties and hardship. فقال عبد الله ابن أبي the leader of the منافقين, he said that لا تنفقوا على من عند رسول الله حتى ينفضوا. Don't give anything to the Sahaba, the companions of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, until that they all run away from him. Now that they have got hunger, they are in difficulties, the weather is so hot, then they will leave him and they will be disloyal and they'll run away. So don't spend upon them anything, don't give them any food or anything. وَقَالَ لَيْ رَجَعْنَا إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ لَيُخْرِجَنَّ لَعَزُّ مِنْهَا الْأَذَلِ. And also he said, when we return to Medina, then we the honorable people, he referred to himself, we will take out the disgraced people, na'uzu billah, we will take out Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Medina Sharif, and we will rule and we will be the masters of Medina Sharif. فَأَتَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَأَخْبَرْتُهُ بِذَلِكَ. Hazrat Zayd ibn Arqam radiyallahu ta'ala anhu heard this. He says, I came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I informed him. This also outwardly will look like ghibat, but it was necessary to inform of the evil conspiracy this leader of the munafiq was making. It was absolutely necessary to inform Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَأَرْسَلَ إِلَى عَبْدُ اللَّهِ ابْنِ عُبَيْ. Hazrat Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent for Abdullah ibn Ubay that he must come and clarify the matter, that he has an accusation made to him, he must clarify it. فَاجْتَهَدَ يَمِينَهُ مَا فَعَلَ. And he took big qasams and he said, I never said a thing like that. He was pretending to be a Muslim. I'm such a good Muslim, I sacrificed my life for you, I can say a thing like that? Impossible. فَقَالُوا كَذَبَ زَيْدٌ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. The word spread amongst the Sahaba also that Hazrat Zayd ibn Arqam, na'uzu billah, he spoke a lie to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he falsely accused Abdullah ibn Ubay. So this فَوَقْعَ فِي نَفْسِ مِمَّا قَالُوا شِدَّةٌ. Then Hazrat Zayd ibn Arqam, who heard it, who knew it was a fact, he says, I felt very hurt in myself that even the Sahaba are saying that I'm a liar and that I spoke a wrong thing and I accused him falsely. He felt very hurt about this. Hatta anzalallahu ta'ala tasdiqi. Until Allah revealed an ayat in the Quran to testify to the truth of what I said. Until today in Surah Munafiqun, we read the words of Abdullah ibn Ubay, what terrible words he had said. Idha ja'akal munafiqun. This surah, Idha ja'akal munafiqun. Thumma da'ahumun nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam liyastaghfira lahum falawwaw ru'usahum. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called these munafiqs and said to them, Allah has revealed the truth and you people did say this. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam desired to make istighfar for them, ask forgiveness for them, but they dropped their heads in decline. They did not accept it. They had so much pride also in them that though Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to ask forgiveness, they were not prepared to accept that also. وعن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت قالت هند امرأة أبي سفيان للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. حضرت عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها says that Hinda, the wife of Abu Sufyan, came to Nabi Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم and complained about her husband, which is a common thing till today. Many wives go to the ulama, complain about their husbands, how they treating them. So this was a case right in the life of Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم. She said, Inna Aba Sufyan rajulun shahihun. وَلَيْسَ يُعْطِينِ مَا يَكْفِينِ وَوَلَدِي. She said that Abu Sufyan is a very stingy person and a very greedy person. And he doesn't give me what my needs are, neither for my children. He doesn't spend on me. Like many wives have this complaint of their husbands, that the wives do not spend, the husbands don't spend upon them and upon the children. إِلَّا مَا أَخَذْتُ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ لَا يَعْلَمْ. She said, but that which I take from him and he doesn't know about it. I take from his money, I'm his wife, my children, and I need it, and he doesn't give us, so I take without his permission. قال نبي صلى الله عليه وسلم خذي ما يكفيك وولدك بالمعروف. Take what you need for yourself and for your children in a nice way. In other words, don't take too much also. How much you need, take so much which is sufficient for you. Yeah, also it appears she made a ghibat. And ghibat in such a case also is permissible. As we had read of the six conditions under which ghibat is permissible and also commanded, that if somebody is not fulfilling somebody's rights and there is somebody who can help out, it's permissible to go and complain about that person. So it's very necessary to have the proper understanding of deen. Otherwise, with regard to even Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with regard to the ulama, the awliya, shaitan puts a lot of wasawis in us and we have wrong impressions about them. So if we have the proper knowledge, then a person will be able to understand. Hadrat Maulana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi used to say, only two types of people will benefit from me. One is a person who loves me very greatly and accepts everything what I do as correct. And the other one who has got deep knowledge, and in his knowledge he will see whatever I do is correct. But a person who hasn't got love will find objection in everything. A person who has got only superficial knowledge, he will also find objection that this is according to the Quran, this is against hadith, etc. So therefore, to have this, then a person benefits from the ulama also.